Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments on the abortion pill case. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments regarding the FDA's approval of the abortion pill, mifepristone, particularly approving it to be obtained via mail without any in-person meeting or consultation with a medical doctor. The case went before the United States Supreme Court, but the big question, it seemed like, that concerned some of the justices was not the merits of the case, but whether they had standing to actually bring the case in the first place. In order to bring a case, you have to have what's called Article 3 standing, Article 3 of the Constitution. You have to have standing, meaning that the plaintiff or plaintiffs bringing the lawsuit must have a direct injury that they are complaining of, and that the injury can be remedied by the result that they are seeking.
Yeah, we listened to the case during the argument, and you know, we will unpack some of the statements that were made. But this whole case centers around the FDA's deregulation of mifepristone in 2016 and 2021. And these changes included allowing this drug to be used through the 10th week of pregnancy rather than only through the 7th. So it's broadening its use and allowing healthcare providers who are not physicians to prescribe the drug, you know, especially during COVID, this whole telehealth appointment and not having a doctor present was really escalated. And the FDA made these changes despite the drug's questionable safety record. And there certainly is a safety record attached to this drug.
There is. In fact, mifepristone was approved back in 2000 at the very twilight ending years of Bill Clinton. The FDA rushed this through to approve it as he was ending his second term as president in 2000, in the fall of 2000. Sometimes that drug had been referred to as RU486. It was previously owned by a French company. The patent is now owned, believe it or not, by the Population Council.
That says a lot right there.
Yeah, the Population Council was founded in 1952 by John D. Rockefeller III, and it was designed to eliminate human populations. And so for many years, they funded research with regards to population control.
I mean, think eugenics, Margaret Sanger, Hitler, all of those, Darwin, all of those who wanted to eliminate so-called human weeds, which are minority populations and those like that have Down syndrome, those who have disabilities.
That's right. And so that's what they've always been about. Well, then what happened is this French company that had the RU486 mifepristone, they tried to sell it. They couldn't find a buyer. And they then donated it to the Population Council. And the Population Council, during the Clinton administration, toward the last few months of that, tried to push this through the FDA to get approval, and they got it approved. They actually worked with a company called Danco Laboratories, and Danco worked with a Chinese company to get the ingredients for the pill. And now the Population Council gets royalties for every pill that's actually sold. So they're making lots and lots of money to continue their eugenics agenda. So that was 2000. Then in 2016, Obama, and in 2021, Biden, the FDA issued additional deregulation, as you've already said, Holly, changing the time frame from using it up to the 7th week to the 10th week and allowing it through the mail.
I mean, you have to really look at, I mean, even the FDA has on a website, those who voluntarily stated their adverse effects from taking this pill. And I think within 1 year, there was over 4,000. Some of those included deaths. This pill is very unsafe. Women take these in the privacy of their own home, and many bleed heavily as a result, and some even pass away because of that with no doctor present.
Well, and the FDA knew about this as well. RU-46, or sometimes, you know, it's also called mifepristone, that has an FDA warning for causing toxicity, overdose, ruptured ectopic tubes, hemorrhage, and more. From February 2019 to September 2020 alone, the drug killed 3,197 women. Among the other thousands of adverse injuries reported during the same period, two-thirds of the women who did not die of these adverse events required surgery to save their life and their future fertility. The FDA knew about all this, knows about it. Now, the FDA has used doctors. You know, they have bypassed a lot of this in-person situation so that they know. They actually say that allowing telemedicine actually increases the risk. They know about risk. That's even in person, because that was in person, like 2019 to 2020. That was before they actually allowed it telemed.
Right.
And they already had this information about the injuries and deaths. They've also said, and they've admitted, that when you do it by telemed and you're not in person, that increases the risk.
Right. And you've got many of those. They're sending them through the mail. You've got CVS and Walgreens. Many of those are now selling them. This is just horrendous, and this needs to be dealt with.
So the case went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and it was brought by some physicians, the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, a group of pro-life doctors, and they said that they had standing. The case, however, seems to devolve and may ultimately come down to the issue of whether they have standing or not. Justices Neil Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett and others seem skeptical that they satisfied the standing requirements of Article 3. Other justices raised similar concerns. Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito were skeptical of the government's argument that people not regulated by the FDA have no standing at all. So you have them going both sides. Justice Alito said, quote, "Your argument here is that even if the FDA acted unlawfully, nobody can challenge that in court, question mark. Prelager, the attorney general solicitor, said no, while noting that there are too many intervening events and independent decisions for a third party to raise a case, and that the alliance had not come within 100 miles of proving cognizable harm." Basically saying that the alliance, the doctors say, well, they had harm. How did they have harm? They had harm because they might be in the emergency room and be confronted with one of these emergency abortions. The counter to that was, well, you have the ability to opt out for conscience reasons, so you're not going to be injured by that. Now, there had been an effort by some states to file a motion to intervene at the Supreme Court, and that was to boost the standing argument. The Supreme Court did not grant it. Intervention typically is not allowed at that level. If you're going to intervene, you typically need to file a motion to intervene. You need to show that the current defense or prosecution is not adequate and that you need to be involved, but you need to file that soon after you have knowledge of the case so that you're part of the whole process. You can't come lately, so to speak, and file it long after the case and discovery and the arguments are closed, and that's what happened here. So what could happen here, Holly, is that the U.S. Supreme Court might sidestep the underlying issue. They might just simply say that there's no standing by these particular doctors. But what does that mean? Does that mean the FDA is off the hook? No. States, I think, clearly have standing because the FDA's already acknowledged there's deaths and there's injuries. So what happens to these people who die or who are injured? They are then cared for in various hospitals and clinics, likely at the expense or partial expense of the government.
Right.
And so the states, I think, have an interest. Moreover, they have an interest because this abortion pill is coming into some states where the states have laws that do not allow abortion. For example, There's this clinic up in New York that said it was sending out 10,000 pills a month, mostly to states that have restrictive abortion laws where it is illegal to have an abortion. So some of these states are being directly impacted.
And, you know, I think it was good. Attorney Erin Hawley represented these pro-life doctors. And in her opening statement, she said, "Doctors will be forced to manage abortion drug harm is not a bug in the FDA system, but part of its very design. Ruling against respondents standing here would allow federal agencies to conscript non-regulated parties into violating their consciences and suffering other harm without judicial recourse."
So we'll watch the case. We'll let you know what the decision is. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.